Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11. Bible says, one day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, Galilee, with the people crowding around him and listening to the word of God, he saw at the water's edge two boats. They were left there by fishermen who were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon Peter, and he asked him to put out a little from the shore. And he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water, let down the nets for a catch. Simon answered, Master, we've worked hard all night and haven't caught anything, but because you say so, I will let down the nets. And when they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. And so they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink both the boats. And when Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, go away from me, Lord, I am a sinful man. For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the sons of Zebedee, Simon's partners. And then Jesus said to Simon, don't be afraid. From now on, you will catch men. So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. Lord, we come to you this morning, challenged by your word, challenged by our lives. Sometimes it seems as if we toil and toil, and there is no reward. There is no catch. We can fish all night and come up dry. Lord, I pray this morning, Lord, that you would open our hearts and open our minds, Lord, to a life that is not filled with futility, Lord, but a life that is filled with fruit. Lord, a life that is focused on you and focused on the gospel, Lord, that we would find your provision and your protection, Lord, as we step out of smallness, Lord, and find your fullness in our lives. Lord, I pray an anointing upon our time that we would hear from you this morning. Bind every distraction. Set the captive free. We will give you praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen, amen. We're going to be talking about fishing today. Title of the message is Gone Fishing. Mike took a group of kids out yesterday. They went fishing. Some caught fish. Some got sick. We're going to talk about fishing today, and we're going to talk about faith. And in these verses, we are going to get a picture of faith. We are going to get a picture of commitment. But we are going to be talking about fishing. As I was preparing, I was reminded of the time, the first time I went fishing with my brother-in-law for tuna. And we were up in L.A., and the tuna were just biting all over the place. And so it was wide open. Is the term wide open? That means it's just people are catching fish left and right. And so we're prepping for the trip, and we go to the fish store, and we're getting licenses, and we're getting all the stuff for the boat. And Dennis is kind of a gear head, and so he's buying all these lures. You know, it's like, oh, I need a mustard one, and I need this one. And, oh, these are better than live fish. Oh man, the tuna can't resist these, and I'll take this. And so he's stacking up all this stuff. And the next morning, we get up at some terrible middle of the night hour and get the boat and fill it up with gas, and we're out there. And I go, how are we going to find the fish? He goes, we just got to find the fleet. All the boats that are leaving San Pedro going out for the tuna. And when we find them, we'll find the tuna. And so we're motoring around for a couple hours and not doing much of anything. And he's got meters to find fish and tech temperature and all this stuff, and we're not doing anything. And all of a sudden, on the horizon, we see this massive cluster of boats. And there indeed was the fleet. And so we motor over to the fleet, and all we see is pandemonium. These guys reeling in tuna. Every boat just reeling. It was indeed wide open. So Dennis says, okay, here we go. And he gets his mustard rig. Big old metal thing, they call it throwing iron, and he casts out. Nothing. Reels it in. doing his little fancy thing. Cast out again. Nothing. And around us, we're surrounded by fishermen catching fish after fish after fish. And for an hour and a half of futility, nothing. Because all those other fishermen were using live bait, and we had none. In fact, I wasn't going to tell you this, but I'm just going to slide this in. We were motoring around trying to get a spot, and we end up cutting this guy's line. You know, and that's like, you know, bad manners. You don't want to do that. But the guy goes, never mind. He just cut off his line. So Dennis is going, and he fishes down, and he finds the guy's line. And on the other end of the line is a live bait. He's, got a live bait, one live bait. You know, and he ties it onto his line. And it casts out, and I kid you not, within 60 seconds, wham, tuna is on the line. Oh, he's playing, and he's been telling me all the time, this is how you do it. It pulls out, you got to count to 10, you got to do this, and then he set the hook, wham. And he's doing all this stuff, and he sets the hook, and there was no wham. And he turns to me, and he says, I farmed it. I lost it. And so we drove all the way back in, surrounded by guys catching tuna, and didn't have one. A futile trip. We read about the disciples here. We get a picture. We're going to read in John chapter 21 of another fishing trip. And these guys fish all night, and they catch nothing. They were futile. Sometimes our lives are like that. We work so hard, and we just see no reward for our labors. We see nothing coming back towards us. And so we read about this fishing trip at the beginning of the ministry of Jesus, and then we read about another fishing trip at the end of the ministry of Jesus, after the resurrection. And the title of the message is Gone Fishermen. Gone Fishermen. Gone Fishing. And these guys were fishermen, and fishermen fish. That's what they do. And we read this story in Luke, and the reason I read it for you is because Jesus wanted these guys to do something different. He wanted these fishermen to not catch fish anymore, but he wanted them to catch men. And there are some of us today that there are things that are incredibly natural for us to do. And Jesus says, I want you to shift from what is natural for you to do to doing something that I want you to do. I want you to make a change. And my question for you today is, what does Jesus want you to change? How does Jesus want you to conform your life to his desire? The title of this series is The Reality of the Resurrection. And the resurrection changes everything. And can I get a witness on that? The fact that Jesus raised from the dead changes everything, and if it changes everything, that means that it should be changing you. So my question is, how have you changed? What have you changed, and what does the Lord want you to continue to change? How does the Lord want you to conform more and more to his will for your life? He comes to Gospel of John, chapter 21, after the resurrection. After Jesus has appeared. Jesus appeared. This is the third appearance to the disciples. I'm going to read it to you. I haven't read it to you yet, but we will go through it. He appeared to Mary Magdalene on Resurrection Sunday, on Easter Sunday. He appears to Mary Magdalene. Then he appears to the disciples that night. They didn't believe Mary Magdalene. And he appeared to the disciples that night, except for Thomas. And a week later, he appears to all the disciples and Thomas. Now, Luke tells us that there's some special stuff that went on. Chapter 24, verses 44 and 45, Jesus said to them, this is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. Now, this is Jesus meeting with the disciples on Easter night, okay? And he says, then he opened their minds so that they could understand the scriptures. So there was a supernatural comprehension by the disciples about who Jesus was and what his impact was supposed to be in their lives and what their impact was supposed to be on the world around them. Are you tracking with me? And he finds them fishing. And that leads me to a couple of questions. Why are they fishing? Jesus was transforming them from fishers of fish into fishers of men. Are you tracking with me? Can you understand why they're like, what are you guys doing fishing? There's another question for you. What are they doing in Galilee? John, we'll read in a moment, says that they were fishing at the Sea of Tiberias, which is the Sea of Galilee. Galilee is 70 miles from Jerusalem. It is like from here to Escondido or thereabouts. Or here from here to Oceanside. You think, oh, that's about an hour. They were walking. That'd take you a week. Good day of walking is 10 miles. What are they doing in Galilee? Where's the fervency that they got from having their minds open to the plan of God and the truth of God for their lives? And why are they in Galilee? And what are they doing fishing? It would appear that they had lost track of God's plan for their lives, God's purpose for their lives. We read the end of chapter 20 last week, and it talks about the profession of Thomas, my Lord and my God. And it says there, in the end, he says, all these things were written down that you might believe, and by believing you might have life, eternal life. Amen? And that ended John. Everybody was happy. Everybody was on track. We had that great statement of faith by Thomas. And then something went wrong. Something went wrong in between chapter 20 and chapter 21 that the guys got so off track that they were back in Galilee and back fishing. And Jesus steps in and he says, are you going to fish or are you going to follow? Because you can't do both. You're going to have to choose. And so John tagged on chapter 21 to his gospel. And it shows how Jesus stepped in to take their statement of faith and turn it into action. Because faith is not enough. It has to be engaged in our lives. Jesus asked you the question today. You going to fish? Or are you going to follow? Because you can't do both. Amen? You tracking with me? All right, let's take a look. All right, so here we go. John chapter 21. Sometimes we make detours in life. Can I get a witness on that from anybody? Oh, yeah. Sometimes you just find yourself in a place that you, how did I get here? Afterward, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Tiberias, the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas called Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, James and John, we read about them, those were Peter's partners. Two other disciples, we don't know who they were. They were all together up in Galilee. And Peter says, I'm going fishing. Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got in the boat, and that night they caught nothing. Let's go fishing. Let's go do what just seems normal to us and natural to us. Seven of these disciples in Galilee, what are they doing up there? We learned in chapter 20 that Jesus had breathed on them and they had received the Holy Spirit. And yet still, they are 70 miles off track. They are a week off track. Said, hey, we're going to go fishing. Why? Where were their priorities? Where were their priorities when somebody made the choice of, hey, let's go back to Galilee? All the action was going on in Jerusalem. And there's only seven of them. Now, Judas is dead. We know where Judas is. Where were the other four? Were they even more off track than these seven? Did Matthew go back to collecting taxes? An incredible display of disarray amongst the followers of Christ. Are you tracking with me? All right. B, Jesus is watching. What a bummer. See, sometimes we think we can just take a little vacation. We'll be back in a minute. And nobody's going to know. But right in the midst of their trip, in the midst of their futility, there's Jesus. He says, early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore. The disciples did not realize that it was Jesus, and he called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? It's actually a little bit more negative than that. Friends, you don't got any fish, do you? Actually says, you don't have anything to eat, do you? Now I'm putting a little extra on there. I don't know that he had that in there that I'm putting in there. No, they answered. And he said, throw your net on the other side of the boat. Throw your net on the right side of the boat, and you will find some fish. You'll find some to eat. And when they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Do you see the parallel between the story that I opened you with in Luke and this story? Fishing all night, got nothing. Jesus says where to fish. They throw it in, and they catch some stuff. Jesus is watching, folks. Jesus is watching you, Jesus is watching them, and Jesus makes provision. You don't have anything to eat, do you? It's the most natural question in the world. Now, Isabel, who went fishing with Mike yesterday, called me, said, we're done fishing. You know what my first question was? What'd you catch? It is the most natural question in the world. Did you catch anything? And the answer is about the most natural as well. No, I didn't catch nothing. You know, I love fishing, but I like catching a whole lot more. It's a lot more fun. He says, throw your net on the other side of the boat, on the right side of the boat. Now, I got to explain this to you. Because fishing boats, even today, they're set up a certain way to fish. They're set up with the rigs and the tackle all one way so that you can fish. And all their rigs and all their tackle and everything was set up on the left side. And that's the way every boat was set up. You go on a commercial trawler, you look at the crab fisherman thing, whatever that show is where they're fishing up in Alaska and they're catching for crabs. They got the little winch and they got all this stuff and it's all set up to fish on one side. And they said, throw the things on the other side. They say, are you crazy? We don't got a winch. We don't got nothing on that side. We can't fish on that side. It's not made to fish on that side. Jesus says, I want you to do something that you're not equipped to do. I want you to do something a new way that you've never done it before. I want you to throw your net on the other side. And I got to be thinking, well, what does it matter, man? The boat's maybe 5 feet wide. What, is there a million fish, you know, just as underneath? This is the desert side of the boat, and that's the jungle side of the boat? Today, Jesus says to you, I want you to live a different way than you're used to. Are you tired of the futility of your life yet? Are you ready to follow me yet? I want you to change how you do things. And notice, they throw the net down and it is filled with fish. And I want you to notice that good things happen when you follow the Lord. Amen? Some of you have found that. Some of you have found out that when you step away from the Lord just for a minute, all of a sudden things start going bad. Who was it? I think, Roki, you were talking about spiritual attack, right? People step away just for a minute, bam, and they're gone. It can be difficult getting back on track. One throw, everything changed. There is provision in the plan of God. I told you last month, man, we had some financial straits, and this lady was selling an organ, and it is an awesome organ. It's a Hammond A100 with a 251 two-channel Leslie. Oh, man, it is just so gorgeous, and it's worth up to $4,000, and I said, ma'am, I'd dearly love to have that organ, but we don't have room to play it, and we're all set up. But I said, we can surely use that money. And I said, well, I really want a church to have it. I said, I'll tell you what. You give it to me, and I'll guarantee you I won't give it to anybody but a church. And but we can use that money to feed people and do all the stuff that we did. And they came, actually, last month. and call us our missions church. I said, very cool. We'll take that. So anyway, me and Timothy went and got the organ. Timothy lugging the organ. And we have it in our garage. It's been sitting there for a month now. And Lisa's kind of going, I kind of like to park in my garage again. And all these people denying to me about being in a church. And I want that organ because I got $2,000. It's just a deal. And this guy calls me yesterday from Chicago. And he's out touring doing something, but he plays organ for a church in Oakland. And he says, and I know he's from a church, he said, we had a water main break in our church. I said, oh. And he goes, it was pouring out right on top of our organ. I said, oh. I said, how long? 3 days. Now, you got to be a pastor to know. I mean, nobody who doesn't go to church isn't a pastor would realize that a water main can actually be broken for 3 days in a church and no one know. Because sometimes I'll come in here and a toilet will have been flowing for 3 days, just totally soaking everything. Why? Because nobody's been in the church to check it. And he said, we could so use that organ. As soon as I get back from Chicago, I'm going to bring my pastor down. We're going to take a look at it. We're going to take it up and we're going to have church in Oakland. They need an organ. They're getting a deal on an organ. We're getting the ability to pay some bills around here. Isn't that just the provision of God? Amen? Amen. See, when we do things God's way, we'll never lack for God's provision. Amen? All right, point number two. We can struggle with priorities. Peter was. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved, who is John, said to Peter, it's the Lord. It's Jesus, he says. And as soon as Simon Peter heard him say, it's the Lord, he went, oh yeah, it is the Lord. I remember the other fishing trip and all that stuff. And he wrapped his outer garment, he grabbed his coat, because he took it off because he was working fishing. And he wrapped it around him, and he jumped into the water, and the other disciples followed the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards. And when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. And Jesus said to them, bring some of the fish you have just caught. And Peter jumps in. Now, it says that the boat wasn't that far from shore, 100 yards. I mean, that's a bit of a haul. Can I get away? I mean, if you're swimming with your jacket on and your shoes on, 100 yards, I mean, that's pretty far. It's not like just swimming from here to the wall, wading in. 100 yards, man, he was swimming. See, John figured it out. It's the Lord. Peter's trying to work it out. Peter forgets about the fish. He was the guy who wanted to go fishing. He was, hey, let's go fishing. Okay, well, I'll go with you. They're fishing, not getting any. It's the Lord. Boom. Forget about the fish. I'm going to follow the Lord. And to me, Peter seems a little bit confused. Maybe you can relate to a little bit of confusion. Sometimes it seems so easy. And sometimes you just can't figure it out. You'd be sold out 1 minute and wandering the next. And Jesus wants more for us than confusion. Jesus is calling us into progress. Jesus is calling you into faithfulness, focus. Even in that cry room back there. Even Miss Teresa. Yes. I see you back there. Peter gets to shore and Jesus has got a fire. Peter gets to shore and Jesus got fish. Where'd Jesus get the fish? I doubt he spent the whole night toiling away fishing. Can I get a witness on that? See, what they're working all night for, Jesus has already got. He says, come on in, Peter. Let's have a little breakfast. Provision of God. Protection of God. Simon Peter climbed aboard, said, go get some of that fish, dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, not puny fish. God does good. Amen? Amen. God give you the best Hammond organ with the best Leslie. Hallelujah. Large fish, 153 of them, but even with so many, the net was not broken. Protection from the Lord. Jesus said to them, come and have breakfast. None of the disciples dared ask him who you are. They knew it was the Lord. They were struggling with recognition. All in these post-resurrection appearances, all these people are struggling with recognition. Is that Jesus? I think it's Jesus. I look like Jesus to you. Thomas said, I'm not going to believe unless I put my hand in his side. The disciples, they appeared and they were afraid, didn't recognize him. Mary Magdalene didn't recognize him. They hung out with him for 3 years. And there was a struggle with recognition. Nets were full, 153 fish. What does that mean? 153. People preach about 153. You know what that means? It means they counted them. Mike, as soon as he got off the boat, what did he do? Counted the fish. That's what fishermen do. Count the fish. How much fish you got? Kind of makes the story real. Amen. They sit down and they start eating with them, and I'm sure that they had eaten fish with them many, 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 many times. And they're thinking, this is Jesus, right? Over and over and over, people struggling with who Jesus is. I think we can relate to that too. We find ourselves in situations where we can see the overwhelming hand of God and we go, this is God, isn't it? This is Jesus, isn't it? We can see the undeniable facts that God is at work among us. But in the midst of all that, faith is still involved. Last month, I think I also told you we got a power bill for $1,100. Like, whoa! Our power bill is pretty high around here, but it's about $600-$700. So $1,100 bill, it's just, whoa! A jolt. And sometimes the Lord allows jolts to happen in your life. He says, what are you going to do with this? Now, Roki checked our bills and did all this stuff, and he used to read the meters. He said, I'm going to go read that meter. And they had read the meter wrong. So they're like going, whoo! Because this month's bill should be real small. But the question is, what do you do when you get the jolt? Because some of us go running back to what's comfortable, back to what we're used to. And some of us go running to the Lord. Lord, where can we turn but to you? So when you get a jolt, where do you turn? What do you do? Because it can be real easy to run back home, run back to the way things used to be. Last point. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my lambs. Again, Jesus said, Simon, son of John, do you truly love me? And he answered, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. Jesus said, take care of my sheep. And the third time he said to them, Simon, son of John, do you love me? Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him a third time, do you love me? And he said, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. And Jesus said, feed my sheep. And it's a question of commitment. Question for you today is, where is your commitment to the Lord? Where was Peter's commitment to the Lord? Do you love me? And there's two different words that are used here, many people speak about them. The two words in Greek are agape and phileo. And some would say, oh, well, phileo is kind of a lesser love. But realistically, I was studying, and the two words are often used interchangeably. And I might have read something like this if you're reading the Greek. Do you love me? And the answer would be, I adore you. Do you love me? I adore you. And the last time, do you adore me? And he says, I adore you. Now, the thing is there's only one word for love in Aramaic, which is the language that they would have been speaking. They would have been speaking something like Hebrew. They didn't speak Greek. Now, God is trying to convey something to us. Something to us by the use of these words. But I don't want to get bogged down into that, because in addition to those two words, there's two different words for know. And Peter is saying, you know me. Now, the first question also is a little bit different than the other two. He says, Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these guys? And Peter says, yes, I love you more than all these. And he says that I need you to change. I need you to change your priorities. I need you to feed my sheep. I need you to care for my people. And Peter indeed became the leader of the early church. Feed my sheep. And he said, do you love me? And he says, yes, I love you. Yes, I adore you. Care for my lambs. And then he asked him a third time, do you love me? And Peter was downcast because he's challenging his commitment. He says, you know me. And the difference between those two words for know as opposed to know, do you know Roki? Yeah, I know Roki. Have you experienced Roki? Have you been that close to Roki to really know him through hanging with him and experiencing him? And he says, you have experienced me, Jesus. You know how I am. And the big question that is unasked by Jesus, that is not mentioned by Jesus, is if you love me so much, what are you doing up here fishing? We left this years ago. What are you doing up here in Galilee? And Jesus never says that. He lets us experience the dryness of our lives. And lets us answer our own questions of, what am I doing here? What am I doing fishing? It is a question of commitment. And Jesus ends with a picture of sacrifice, a picture of obedience. I tell you the truth, when you were younger, you dressed yourself and went wherever you wanted. I did. I made a lot of mistakes. He says, when you're old, you will stretch out your hands and someone else will dress you and lead you where you do not want to go. And Jesus said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. And he says to him, follow me. He goes, you're going to fish, you're going to follow, because you can't do both. Peter's is a sacrificial life. Jesus is calling him to greater commitment. Follow me. New focus in life. Stop fishing and start feeding. I want you to care for my people. This is a picture of sacrifice in life. This is a picture of sacrifice in death. Because Jesus says, when you get old, someone's going to take you where you don't want to go. But he says you will glorify God in your death. On October 13th, year 64 AD, Peter was crucified, tradition holds, upside down by Nero. Persecution of Christians in Rome. And Peter did indeed glorify God in his death. That's what Jesus wanted from Peter. What does Jesus want from you? What does Jesus desire from you? Reality of the resurrection. The resurrection changes everything. Message to Peter, stop fishing and start feeding my sheep. Jesus says the challenge is in Jerusalem. Time to get back in the game. Time to get back in the fight. And I think in Peter's heart, he's going, it's so hard in Jerusalem. It's so scary in Jerusalem. It's so difficult in Jerusalem. And it's so easy back here in Galilee. And Jesus says, are you going to fish or are you going to follow? Because you can't do both. Some of you are here this morning, and you are followers of our Lord Jesus Christ. Lisa, you want to come up here and play for a minute? And as I talk about fishing or following, you are thinking, oh man, it is so good to follow the Lord. I see His provision, I see His protection, and God is good. And there is a warmth and a depth in your soul right now, and you are celebrating God. And just as He poured out His Spirit and breathed on His disciples to receive His Spirit, you are just being filled with the fullness of God right now, and you are just basking in the warmth of God. And right now, Lord, for all those folks right now, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that well done, good and faithful servant that would just come down upon them, Lord, letting them know, Lord, that You are well pleased. But maybe you are here this morning. You're thinking, I did a little fishing yesterday. You're thinking, I did a little fishing last night. Just for a minute. And I didn't think Jesus was watching. But you sit here this morning and there is a conviction in your soul. There is not a fullness. There is a constriction in your heart. And the Lord says, I'm calling you to more than that. If you're going to follow, you can't fish anymore. Now I don't know what you do for fishing. Could be drinking, could be carousing, could be clubbing, could be all kinds of things. And just step out just for a minute. Oh, I'm just going to step out for a minute. I'll be right back, Jesus. See, I think as Jesus was talking to Peter, and Peter is going, I love you so much. I care for you so much. And Jesus says, well, let me hook you up with a meal, son. And he grabs that piece of bread. And he grabs that piece of fish. And he says to Peter, how much do you love me? As he reaches out with a nail-pierced hand. And he says, follow me. Because you're going to experience this kind of death to glorify our Father in heaven. And this morning he says, how much do you love me? And he reaches out to you with a nail-pierced hand. And he says, I want you to follow me. Lord, we come to you this morning, some of us full and some of us incredibly challenged this morning. Roki said earlier, need some folks to step up. Need some folks to start following and quit fishing. Start fighting, quit fishing. Perhaps the Lord is not done with you this morning. And he reaches out with a nail-pierced hand. He says, my child, enough. Follow me. No more distractions. No more playing around.